It's taken from John 15th chapter, 18th through the 19th verse, and Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 24th through the 25th verse. And they're listed in your bulletin. You can read along with us or choose the reading that you prefer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the things that you've done in our lives. Sometimes, Lord, we don't do as you have commanded us to do, but Lord, we ask that you continue to be with us. And as we listen to your word, we ask that you bless these words so that we may use them to uplift your kingdom. Lord, clear our hearts, clear our minds, and so that these words may be illumined within us so that we may be a blessing to others.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our first lesson, the world hates the disciples. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Matthew 16, 24 to the 25th verse. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it."
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So for the last 4 weeks, we have been challenged by what it means to love people that don't look like us, that don't talk like us, and by some of our standards, don't act like us. Now, Grace is a family church, and when something happens to any one of us, someone knows. No matter how much you try to keep it private, Detective Alberta Wilson is gonna find you. No matter how about your personal affairs, but somebody knows. But somebody cares.
Amen.
And we do our best to try to respect your privacy. We don't need to know all the glory details as a member of your spiritual, glory details of what's happening. But I believe as a member of your spiritual circle, we need to know when you're hurting.
Amen.
So we can lift you up in prayer. Yeah, yeah. Because God hears and God answers our cry.
Amen.
But are we as loving as Christ has called us to be when that person is not like us? Do we readily open our hearts to welcome the stranger or the alcoholic who smell like this morning's gin and juice, or whose last month's bath may be starting to wear off? Are we greedy with the relationships that we have, treating people only as a means to serve our own ends? Do we joyfully and unconditionally share of our time, our talents, our resources with the church? Or is the church just an add-on when we want to help others and do nice things? Remember, our salvation is gained through our belief in Jesus Christ, not by the works or deeds that we do.
Amen.
But if we truly have been transformed as new creatures in Christ, then our spiritual maturity would want us to care for other people as a means of showing our love to God, showing our love to his people. So God blesses us, if we remember, so that we can bless others. And if we gave everything we own to the poor, but we don't show love, then we've gained nothing.
That's right.
And to show love is the greatest commandment. So I kind of thought about this when I was laying in bed last night, or this morning, about 4 o'clock, that the cast that we've been looking at, in my mind, and I may be wrong, kind of resembles some of the people we study in the Bible. Think about it. We got a blind man. We got a prostitute. We got Harold, the friend who could be a Gentile, because he wasn't accepted. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, "I'm just the garbage man, but they tip the waiter, but they don't tip me."
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Donovans, they rich, They can write a check for anything. So they're kind of like the Jewish chosen people, mm-hmm. you know. The Donovan circle of friends, I guess you can call them the Pharisees because of their wealth. They think they got everything, mm-hmm. and they look down on the other folk because they felt like they're not chosen. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Ray, I said, well, I can't make Ray like Jesus because he ain't perfect. So I thought maybe he's the spiritual advisor to everyone. He's like Paul. Mm-hmm. Because remember, last year, Ray got mad at God because he lost his wife. Mm-hmm. And he fell, and then he had to get back up. And once he learned to love God, he became a new creature in Christ.
That's right.
I mean, that's kind of thought about that. I don't know why God put that on my mind this morning. So today's video, so when you look at it, just think about all the studies we think, the things that we do when we do Bible study in Sunday school. These characters are kind of made intentionally mm-hmm. to make us think in modern terms today.
That's right.
So today's video is titled Cogged. We are confronted with the wall that money can be separating people. Julia's wedding is a point of conflict because all of Frank's neighbors fear those who are different are coming into their neighborhood. They don't like it. It is the convicting that stuff matters more to us than people who are created in God's image. Money can be dangerous when we value it more than and things it buys more than we value people.
Amen.
God gives us an opportunity every day to sacrifice our warm comfort to serve others with the resources that we have. Mm-hmm. So let's see what lesson old Ray has in store for us today. Devil busy today.
You know we can hear you back.
I know.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Is it plugged in?
Just when we have company in the house, they won't act up.
Is it on?
No, it's not. It was on yesterday.
Something not unplugged, is it? Okay, I see that you wasn't on.
You came out? Mm-hmm. Did it again?
You want me to put it on now? Uh-oh.
That's okay.
I boo-booed. I don't know how to get it back. Sorry, it's the first time this happened.
Getting ready for this wedding has been crazy. We're all running around. So, what can we do for you?
Wedding?
Yeah, for some friends of ours. They were at the banquet a few weeks ago. I think it was the one that you left early from.
Frank, let me cut to the chase. We've received a number of complaints at the Homeowners Association about the yard sale last week.
Complaints? From whom?
That's not important. What is important is that we have a responsibility to ensure a reasonable expectation of security in our community. We live in a gated community. It's gated for a reason.
I'm sorry, but was there something unsafe about a yard sale?
The financial investment that you guys have made down at the Soup Kitchen is wonderful. And we're all for helping those folks down there find work.
We just don't know if it was a good idea to hire them to work at your yard sale. I mean, did you do any background checks?
They're not our employees, Mark. They're our friends.
We're just all concerned for you. That's all. Listen, were you and Eddie arrested last week for solicitation?
So are my parents in some kind of trouble with the neighborhood?
I don't know. I know there was kind of a big stink about those people at the yard sale.
What people?
The homeless people.
They're not homeless. They're really nice, actually.
Well, whoever they are, my parents were all, the Donovans are acting weird lately. We don't want you going over there without asking us.
That's stupid.
Is it? I mean, doesn't it freak you out just a little? You've got this girl living with you who people are saying used to be a professional. And you've got all these homeless people or whatever coming to your house. It's kind of weird.
This is just an informal warning. But if you insist on continuing to put our community at risk, we'll be forced to consider probationary status.
Probationary status? Mark and Marianne, you're on board with this? We've been friends since our kids were in diapers.
Frank, none of us expects it to come to that. We just want things the way they were. And then everything will be fine.
And by the way, an event of this size has to be approved by the HOA at least a month in advance. We have to confer over things like security, parking, street access.
You come to our Christmas party every year. We host five times as many people as will be at this wedding. And you've never once told us that we need to discuss this with the HOA.
I'm sure you won't have trouble finding some place to move it. Otherwise, we're going to have to call the police.
Thomas, is something wrong? Oh, look at you!
Breathtaking.
Thank you.
Thomas, you look so beautiful.
Can you describe her for me?
Thomas, it is bad luck for the groom to see the bride in her gown before the wedding.
Is everything okay?
Yeah. Could you give us a second, Dolores?
With the Homeowners Association. We think it's wonderful that you still want to do this for us anyway, but we can't ask you to do that. It's not fair to you. We can wait a little while anyway.
We've enjoyed a pretty good standing in this community for as long as we've been here. The expense of living the way that God has called us to live. When he says that the world will hate us because he has chosen us out of the world, we don't get that. And I don't want to be hated by anyone, especially friends like Mark, Marianne, and Allison.
hate us because we share our lives with you clowns? Well, I'm all right with that.
We got you a gift.
You did not need to get us anything.
We didn't. Exactly.
What is it?
It's a 12A.
A 12 what?
It's for the door of the guest house. When we offered you that space, we thought you'd be with us longer. And although we're happy that you have a good reason for moving out, we'll miss you. So as a family, we decided to keep that space available for anyone that might need it in the future. And in your memory, we have decided to christen it Unit 1-2-A.
1-2-A another. Be devoted one to another in love. Outdo one another in showing honor. We thought that we'd make it sort of our unofficial motto.
To Thomas and Julia, and to outdoing one another and showing honor.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 tells us that God has rescued us from the powers of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, as kingdom people, we are called to live a different lifestyle. We're called to be a holy people, a people whose ways are not the ways of the world, a people who reflect the character of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 also says that we share in the inheritance of the people who live in the light. We live in the light. And consequently, by our lifestyle alone, we expose the evil deeds of unbelievers. The things we hold dear, the things we hold as true and good, are often offensive to the world. And people don't like their sinfulness exposed, do they? They even get offended when you will not participate in it. Jesus warned his followers about this. So we should not be surprised when we encounter public pressures to conform, as the Donovans do in today's film clip. Or even when we encounter outright persecution ourselves. We live in a world that prizes, on one hand, tolerance, and on the other hand, displays rigidness and intolerance. We see this played out in so many ways every day in the world. The world wants us to make room for everyone's ideas and values. But when biblical values clash with theirs, all of a sudden, we are labeled, amen, intolerant, small-minded. We are judged and vilified. Everyone else can impose their morals and values on us, but we are disliked when our values call into question the sinful behavior of the world. But as Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember, it hated me first. On Friday, I watched a segment of The View. They were talking about a poll of British Christians that said some of the Ten Commandments no longer apply today. Now, these were Christians, okay? And Whoopi, who doesn't claim to be a Christian and often is in opposition to Christian things, said that even if you are a Christian, there are still good values to live by. Sonny, who is Catholic, said they are called the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. And Meghan McCain, John McCain's daughter, who said she had both Catholic and Baptist influences growing up, said that her father taught her something that their whole family lives by. Do not lie, cheat, or steal, and everything else is fair game. Well, amen. Oh my goodness. Well, I don't think Jesus would say that everything else is fair game, do you? But Christianity is not about keeping a set of rules or living morally or ethically. Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus Christ that transforms the way we think and the way we live. And that's what people often just don't understand. The Donovan's neighbors didn't understand the transformation that was taking place in their lives. And the more they invited the poor and the needy into their lives and into their wealthy community, the more pressure the Donovans received to revert to their old ways. The old ways of giving charitably, because yeah, it may seem like it's a good thing to do. It may make me feel good. As long as I don't have to rub shoulders, amen, with those people. Did you keep, you heard them? They kept saying, those people. But we are not called by Jesus and saved by his death upon the cross in order to keep our blessings and our lives to ourselves. He calls us to love and to give and to serve as he modeled for us. And when we make a serious commitment, and I underscore serious, because many of us say we know Christ, but we're not serious about it. And you know how we know we're not serious about it? Because our living looks like everybody else in the world. Amen? Because when you are really serious about living for Jesus, something changes. And I know I sound like a broken record. I say that all the time. But it's true. Something changes. Christ changes us. He makes a claim on our life. And if he's not making a claim on your life, if you don't get convicted when you do things you're not supposed to do, when you go places you're not supposed to go, when you say things you're not supposed to say, when you watch stuff you have no business watching, something's wrong.
Why are you looking at me?
Something's wrong. Jesus changes us. And when he does, he calls us to serve. And people, they won't understand why you can't go to the places that you used to go. They don't understand that you are no longer willing to trash talk and gossip like you used to when you just enjoyed that good tidbit of gossip. When you just enjoyed reveling in somebody else's misery. When you might even say they deserved it.
with a grin on your face. I'm just telling the truth. Amen? They won't understand why now you choose to volunteer when you don't get anything back from it. They don't understand when you choose to give to the needy, when they could find more self-indulgent ways to spend money. And while generosity in our relationships, especially in our relationships with those whose lifestyle is different than ours, though it is not without cost, it is also not without community. When we invite people of all kinds to the banquet table, when we include not only the people who can serve our needs, but the people whose needs we can serve, when we tear down the walls that divide us, we find a true community that is rooted in our common humanity and our shared need for the grace of God. And we will know that we are making progress in this when we no longer put labels on people. When those who are different than us are no longer those people. They are just simply fellow human beings that need to know the love of God. People who need to come to Christ and have his healing presence in their life, just like you and I. Now, it may seem odd to speak of persecution in a series that is devoted to generosity, because in the United States, we are not physically persecuted for our faith like people in other countries. And what we experience in the United States is usually just a minor annoyance at best when compared with the persecution that happens around the world. Yes, it may hurt us for a moment if we lose a friend, but we probably come to the conclusion that we didn't really need that person anyway. But just as Jesus encourage his followers to count the cost of discipleship, so we should be honest about the cost of sacrificing ourselves for others as Christ sacrificed himself for us. We are called to share the burdens of others, to speak out against injustice, which is a challenge. We don't like to do that, do we? We may talk about it in our own circles. We may sit at home and watch TV and complain about what President Trump is doing and saying that all that Congress needs to be kicked out. But then some of us don't even vote. How can you complain about something that you have no participation in? If somebody sends you a petition, you won't sign your name on it. Afraid somebody might ask you for a dollar. Well, they probably will, but that don't mean you have to give it to them. Amen. God has called us to speak out against injustice. All throughout the scripture, isn't that what we see? The prophets and Jesus speaking out against injustice. Too often, the church is silent. Or the bad part of the church speaks out and makes Jesus look bad. Amen? Christians are not called to be fair weather friends. You know the type of person that is. They're with you when everything's hunky-dory, but the minute your life falls apart, they don't want to have nothing to do with you. You call them one too many times, all of a sudden, amen, they don't answer. Oh, it's her again. I ain't got time for that now. Or we might even do the blame game. Amen. Well, they shouldn't have done that. They got themselves in that situation. So God's just trying to teach him something, and I'm just going to let God teach him. Amen. That's us. But that's not God. Because think of this. If Jesus treated us like we treat one another, we'd be more than a hot mess. deep trouble. But we call upon him and he doesn't say, oh, I don't want to hear you. I ain't got time for you today. Amen. You know you shouldn't have done it anyway. Go to them friends that you had. Don't come to me. Amen. If God were like us, we would be in trouble. But we are called to be there when people need us the most. And that's often in times of personal challenge and suffering. Even when we may lose because of it. As Jesus said in Matthew 16, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will what? Lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. So in Called, Frank and Cassie are forced to make a decision. Will they cast their lot with a true community that's rising up out of the pursuit of God together? A community that invites everyone to the table? Or will they cast their lot with their old clique that wants to reserve the table for people who are just like them? Frank and Cassie made their decision. What about us? What about us? Think about your life. Where might the resistance come from as you seek to express Christ's love in the world? Think about that.
You because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. All who are godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be holy literally means to be different, set apart, unlike the world. And the simple fact of the matter is this: if you don't love the world won't love you. If you refuse to do the things the world wants you to do, refuse to value the things the world values, to confess the things the world confesses is true, well, you're going to ruffle some feathers if you don't fly with the flock. Holiness comes at a cost. Paul says that we are like an aroma of life to some, an aroma of death to others. Some we summon on to true life. Others we remind of their sin and their lack of faith. When you give yourself wholly to the least of these, you may find yourself persecuted as a result. We may not live in a time and place when true believers are fed to the lions. But if we're not experiencing any opposition, we might need to ask why the same world that was deathly afraid of Jesus seems perfectly comfortable with us. The cost is only a part of the story, though. For the fellowship of those who are found in Jesus is sweet. For they are devoted one to another. 1:2a is a charge to all of us. The scriptures call us to show love one to another, honor one to another, hospitality and compassion one to another. If we truly do these things, there will be a cost, but there will also be an extraordinary reward. What about you? Is God calling you to step out in faith and show the world what love really looks like? Is he asking you to love the unlovable? Is he asking you to follow Jesus and make yourself a servant to the least of these? And are you ready to know what Paul meant when he said that the cost, the suffering, and the persecution cannot even begin to compare to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus and being found in him?
One to a, or one to another, provides a shorthand for a community of mutual giving and care, a community of relational generosity. One to another is just another way of referring to a table where everyone is welcome and all equals are in the eyes of God. What would it mean if our church became a one-to-a church? How can you reimagine a generosity that would transform the experience of community within our congregation and then overflow into acts of love and service to other people? This idea of one-to-another life forces us to ask this question about the life of our community. If our church, Grace Presbyterian Church, disappeared tomorrow, would anybody notice? What might it look like for Grace to be so marked by the presence of generosity that the community we are in would never look the same? What if people looked back 100 years and said, "What in the world did God do here?" What would they say? Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you make us or help us become a 1-2-8 church.
Yes.
That we reach out into our community, Lord, and help those that are in need, regardless of their stance in this world. Lord, we are sinners. We need forgiveness. We're not perfect, and we know that you are no respecter of any man. But Heavenly Father, we know that you're a caring God, we know that you're a loving God, and we too should be, because you first loved us. That's why you gave us Jesus.
Yes.
This is our prayer, dear Lord, to make us better, make us holy, and make us do those things you would have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.